Well, my text is from a very familiar passage in the Bible, Psalm 23, specifically verse 6. Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, over the years, I've preached from this psalm more than once, but I was drawn to it today and even in recent days, and particularly to this verse 6 again. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, I was drawn to it. Well, after all, we're in the midst of an ever deeper and more vexing spiritual downgrade among evangelicals, including Reformed evangelicals. We also live in the midst of a culture which is becoming increasingly heathenized and hostile to the true Christian faith. And we live under a civil government that is increasingly lawless, and it is peopled with executives and legislators and judges who even despise the law of God and the faith once delivered unto the saints. And finally, it is becoming increasingly evident that the evangelical church in this nation, which has become such an admixture of truth and error, of carnal and spiritual, may well face a great chastening and purging by the Lord, using our enemies, perhaps, as a rod of correction. But God forbid, then, that we would, for all practical purposes, become fatalists. That is, God forbid that we would see ourselves as but helpless, hapless, forsaken cogs on a giant wheel of fate grinding on to the inevitable worldwide triumph of darkness and depravity. God forbid that no matter what happens in the coming years in our little corner of the globe, that we would speak and live as if the Lord were no longer omnipotent and sovereign. Psalm 47, verse 8, God reigneth over the heathen, God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. And we see that great multitude in Revelation 19, verse 6, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. So God forbid that we would end up like this, spoken of in Psalm 46. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Now, one thing is for certain. The promise of our text today is just as sure to us as it was to David. This was the blessed assurance which the Spirit of the Lord not only worked in David's heart, but which David by the Spirit recorded for the whole ransomed church of God until the end of time. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, even me, all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May the Lord then refresh our spirits and edify our hearts with this text, which we are considering this morning. Now, the goodness and mercy spoken of by David are the goodness and mercy of God. Mercy is the active manifestation and outworking of pity and compassion. James, in his epistle, chapter 5, verse 11, declares by the Spirit that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. I say, James declares by the Spirit what he also knows as a spiritual man by the rest of the scriptures and by experience, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Every Christian knows this. Do you not know this today? Then you are not a Christian if you do not know this. Psalm 32, verse 10, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Psalm 103, verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Psalm 103 also, the verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. In Psalm 137, we see this repeated not once, not twice, not three times for emphasis. No, no. 26 times, his mercy endureth forever. Now in our text, David speaks also of the goodness of the Lord. And comprehended here by goodness is the grace and kindness of God, out of which flow to his people a river of grace, a never-failing river of blessing and bounty. Psalm 100, the verse 5, for the Lord is good. He is full of goodness. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 33, verse 5 tells us what we know as Christians, that the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Everywhere we look, we see evidence of the goodness of the Lord. Isaiah 54, verse 10, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, true Christian. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. And Psalm 36, verses 10, verses 7 through 10. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Now here is the promise of God to you, to me, to all true Christians, to all who would trust in him, even today. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now surely, as used in our text, means that what has been declared will infallibly happen. Surely means, without doubt, this will be the case. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Follow me, not just David, of course, but each of the Lord's people, each member of the Good Shepherd's flock. Now, follow here means to be always right at hand. That is, every day, all the time, all our lives. Now, it is our fault if we do not avail ourselves fully of this goodness and mercy, though it is always there and we will always be receiving of it. But we may, of course, cheat ourselves of a full measure of it. But there it is, always there. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Always right at hand, every day, all the time, all our lives. Though David is speaking by the Spirit and each word is by divine inspiration, yet David speaks first, of course, from faith and secondly from experience. That is, David's declaration is rooted in the promises of God found in the Scriptures and which his heart of faith knows to be true. Now, secondly, and I stress secondly, David has experienced. He can say this because he's experienced in his life to the very day he composed this psalm, what he's confident will be the case the rest of his life. I say he has faith. He knows it by faith, but now he's also experienced it. He knows that he can be confident this will be the case the rest of his life, since the Lord, who is full of goodness and mercy, is immutable, infallible, and ever faithful. Just previous to our text, David, known as the sweet psalmist of Israel, sums up his spiritual life thus far as a child of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And then he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. This is the testimony of the Christian, isn't it? Just as surely as the Lord has promised never to leave me or forsake me, just as surely the goodness and mercy of the Lord will follow me all the days of my life. We believe the infallible promises of God, which are all yea and all amen in Christ. Faith will have it no other way than this. I believe that the goodness and mercy of the Lord promised to his people, promised in his word, from the beginning to the end of the scriptures, this goodness and mercy will infallibly, constantly follow me all the days of my life. And this, of course, has been our experience as well. As spiritual men and women, we now look back over the years to our first coming into being, to the start of our lives. We trace our days and our weeks and our months and our years until we were saved, until we were quickened to spiritual life by the free grace and power of the Lord. We see the Lord bearing so very long with us. We see him all the while providing for us. We see him preserving our lives and so our souls, and with most of us, even our limbs, through many dangers, some of our own doing and some not. We see him delivering us from our own pride and ignorance and recklessness, and in many cases, we can now see his restraining grace as well. And we now see that even as lost sinners, the Lord blessed us with many, many wholly undeserved good things which gladdened our hearts even then. We cannot count, they are so many, nor can we see all the mercies and goodness of our good Lord to us while we were yet at the same time children of wrath. There was enmity between us and God, and yet on account of his electing love, he was merciful and he was good to us. And then the day came when he saved us. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 7. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even while we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Such a great deliverance, so great a salvation. The Son makes free shall be free indeed. This new life, this eternal life we've been given. Colossians 1, verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Also, he hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, in that same chapter. Made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, even as his dearly beloved children, children accepted in his own dear Son, always accepted, who for us took to himself, that is, he joined to his deity, flesh and blood and a reasonable soul, in order to obey where we disobeyed, and suffer and die to redeem us and wash us with his own blood and rise to glory as our prophet, priest, and king. Titus 3, the verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, according to his mercy. This is the mercy that follows us all the days of our lives. This is the goodness that follows us all the days of our lives. 1 Peter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, that is a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Psalm 103, I've already quoted from it several times, rather than read the whole thing, and we could just as well read the whole thing, but let me just quote from a few more places, beginning at the beginning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Jumping to verse 10, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And going ahead further, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. This speaks of the mercy and the goodness of God that he has shown to us all the days of our lives, and certainly in saving us, and certainly since saving us. But the difference is now we see it. I hope that we do. I hope that we see it every day and every moment. What do we rest in but in Christ and in his goodness and mercy? I say the goodness and mercy of God in Christ. If we rest in anything else, no, we have no peace. If we get away from the true rest of the children of God, return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Day in and day out, we receive abundant, rich supplies of God's grace through Christ, and his compassions toward us fail not. They are new every morning. Romans 8, verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? 2 Peter 1, verse 3, has this promise, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, to the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. And we can come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Find the grace to help in time of need. Everything that we need is in Christ. We come by him to our Heavenly Father, and we obtain mercy, and we find grace to help in time of need. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. This is the promise of God, and this is the confident assurance of each true Christian. It is your assurance and experience, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. We rest and trust in the Lord's promises and his word, and we have experienced the reality of his promises every day to the present. So how could we doubt that the goodness and the mercy of God would follow us all the days of our lives? And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so we say with the psalmist, 107 verse 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Not just on the Lord's day, not just when we're singing hymns, but all the time. Oh, that the Lord's people would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to us. Top Lady writes in his hymn, kind author and ground of my hope, thee for my God I avow. My glad Ebenezer set up, and own thou hast helped me till now. I muse on the years that are past, wherein my defense thou hast been, nor wilt thou relinquish at last a sinner so singly love. Wesley summed it up, 'tis mercy all immense and free, for, O my God, it found out me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Speaks of the inestimable privilege and blessings and benefits and joy of the believer, that he is of that called out company of saints, that holy assembly, that household of faith, the church of Christ, with her worship and her work, with her fellowship and her ordinances, with her pilgrim ways, her Sabbath days, her goodly heritage, and her heavenly government with the Lord Jesus Christ his head. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitat of God through the Spirit. And Hebrews 12 speaks of the whole church here and above. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Well, they are not in the church, and yet they are part of this heavenly company that serves and praises God. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is David's confidence and assurance, and so it was also his rejoicing. And it is the true believer's confidence and assurance, and it should always be our great rejoicing, and never more so than on the Lord's Day. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalm 122, verse 1, and Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, be thankful unto him and bless his name. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, forever. The blessings and the joy and the grace and the glory we have now as members of the household of faith are only the beginning of what is to come, as wonderful as they are. And of course, we ought to seek to improve on this, so to speak. I'm saying we ought to apply ourselves to the means of grace so that there might be even more blessing and joy and grace and glory in the house of the Lord. But it's only the beginning of what's to come. Soon enough, we'll pass on to eternal glory and joy and perfection, and so to be forever with the Lord in the whole ransomed church of God. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In Christ, who has purchased for us eternity. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I said eternity. I mean an eternity of joy and rejoicing, of gladness, of glory in heaven. Oh, those who reject the offer of salvation in Christ have an eternity ahead of them too. And it's just the opposite. It's weeping and gnashing of teeth in the torments and outer darkness and flames of hell. The description, Isaiah chapter 53, of the church revived, and how encouraging it is and how we pray to see this, but it has its perfect final fulfillment in eternity. For the Lord shall comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What then? We ought to be a grateful, thankful people. A grateful, thankful, joyful people. Psalm 126, verse 3. Is this not our anthem? The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. It's all to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Ephesians 1, and the verse is 6. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace we've received and daily receive, might through the thanksgiving of many then redound to the glory of God. Psalm 33, verse 1, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Psalm 135, verse 3, tells us to praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. For the Lord is good, and he has been good to us, and he has shown mercy to us, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow us who are in Christ all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Colossians 3, the verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Philippians 4, the verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. And then secondly, we ought to be a faithful people who trust in the Lord at all times. You know, that Psalm 106 is a great rehearsing of the history of Israel. And there's great warnings in there for us. For instance, verse 7, our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. They didn't remember how God had delivered them out of Egypt, out from that powerful Pharaoh, brought them out with a high hand, by his own power. So obviously by his own power alone. And then when they got to the Red Sea and the enemy approached, then they forgot. They already forgot and they panicked. And they provoked him, even at the Red Sea. Do we forget that we have been delivered out of bondage in Egypt? Bondage to sin and Satan? Just condemned and at enmity with God and delivered out of it all by Christ, our kinsman redeemer? And when we come to these situations, you might say we're up against the Red Sea and here's the enemy. Do we suddenly forget that God redeemed us and delivered us by his own power alone and out of love and mercy? Psalm 46, verses 1 through 5. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Oh, I don't think it's early enough, Christians say now. I don't think it's early enough. Stop it. Trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. And then thirdly, we ought to be a fruitful people. The psalmist says, but I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever. Psalm 52, the verse 8. Paul, by the Holy Spirit, exhorts us this way. I beseech you. That is, he implores all Christians, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that means because of the mercies of God shown to you and shown to me, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. That means you're all. Body stands there for your all of you. Your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service to him who has shown such great love and given you such great salvation and such an eternity by and through and in Christ. Psalm 92, verse 14, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in him. May we take care to remain firmly planted in the house of the Lord and not go wandering off away from our good shepherd. Colossians, can turn there, in fact. We'll go to Colossians chapter 3. The last thing I'll mention is this, and we could mention other things, but in light of this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Then let me mention this. We ought always to seek to be a merciful people ourselves, full of goodness to others and full of mercy. Mercy. I'm in chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I would take this opportunity also to warn the unconverted, those without Christ, and without the witness of the Spirit, that it's only the mercy and goodness of God that has put them in this land where the gospel is freely preached and has brought salvation so near to them and has brought them many times into the house of the Lord and under the preaching of the word. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Humbly, diligently seek him in his word. Seek him by prayer. Seek him for true repentance and faith and life. Seek him until you have the assurance and the evidences of regeneration and heavenly citizenship. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Seek ye the Lord, while he may be found. Isaiah 55, the verse 6 says, call ye upon him while he is near. And the verse 7 goes on, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And this then will be your assurance and joy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, even me, all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.